Welcome to the tax committee members. Thanks for your patience with the division report. Representative Carlson moves the minutes of April 21st and April 22nd. Is there discussion to the minutes? If not, all in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed say nay. The minutes are adopted. Representative Dill, members, we're not going to hear my bill tonight. We're going to hear Representative Dill's bill, and welcome, Representative Dill.
I'd like to move House File 4158.
Okay, Representative Dill, did you have an amendment for that one?
No, and the motion should be back to finance, correct?
Which one is this one?
This is the mortgage and deed tax, St. Louis County.
No? Oh, to raise and meet? No, that'll be carried in the tax, though.
So you're going to lay this over then?
Everything, yep.
Well, you mean my Game and Fish bill and everything?
Definitely your tax bill. Okay, so mortgage and deed, is that the one you just moved? Representative Dill moved House File 4158 for possible inclusion in the audience tax bill. That one has to stay. Representative Dill.
Thank you. Well, this establishes a county deed mortgage tax of 0.001%. It'll be about $10 on a $100,000 transaction. Section 2, that's what it does. And then later in the bill, it uses the proceeds of the tax. $200,000 is estimated to raise. That would then be used to pay off bonds that are related to a project that occurred on the North Shore, just outside of the city of Duluth. If you've driven up the North Shore and you get onto the scenic highway on Highway 61, which is right at the edge of Duluth, and you start up the shore, there is a sewer district there that when they built the sewer system, the costs were so astronomical that the cost per month for sewer and water is over $140 a month. For sewer only. The neighboring ends of that system, which is the Western Lake Sanitary District and the other end, which is Largemont Knife River, are about $70 a month. And so these proceeds would be used to pay off some obligations that this district incurred. And it goes through 2013, the use of the dollars. So if you have any, I'm sure you have questions.
Thank you, Representative Dill. Is there anyone from the public who wants to testify? I came all the way from Representative Dill's district. Nobody. If there is anyone else who didn't come all the way, you're welcome to testify. Representative Mullery.
Madam Chair, I just... Representative Dill, I was just wondering what the difference was between the types that we have down here and this one.
Representative Dill, did you get that?
The difference between the...
The ones in Hennepin and Ramsey, they just expired because they were vetoed. And then they didn't...
Do you mean the deed tax difference or the... difference in the project that it's funding.
Difference in what it can be used for.
Representative.
Well, this is the reason it's different is because we need to spend it on something up there that you obviously didn't need to spend it on down here.
Well, I'm sorry, Madam Chair and Representative. So this is only limited to that one project. It can't be used for anything else.
It's after the bonds are retired that are specified in. Section 2, item subdivision 2, item 1, then it may be used for the other items, which is item 2, 3, 4, and 5, which would be acquisition and purchase of condemned lands or property, paying the costs associated with indemnifying people, taking title of their property, arising out of ownership, remediation, paying for, you can read there all those other 1, 2, 3, 4 items.
Maybe it's better to ask staff what's the difference between those items and what's in the ones Hennepin and Ramsey has.
Ms. Baker.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mullery, if you look on page 2, Hennepin and Ramsey's items 2, 3, 4, and 5 are what is the expenditures that can be used, or that's what you can use those that tax dollars for. Representative Dill's bill, the number 1 that pays off these bonds for the sewer system, that is different than Hennepin and Ramsey. So it puts that ahead of the other 4, okay. But 2, 3, 4, and 5 are the same as Hennepin and Ramsey.
Representative Mullery. So it's a public finance / mortgage and deed.
Okay. And then I wasn't familiar with what the other what the Hennepin and Ramsey were used for, and obviously this is different because item one is on the North Shore.
Okay. Thank you for that. Anyone from the public would like to testify for or against this bill? So, please, I'm sorry, I apologize. Justin Cole has a question, but if it's okay with Justin Cole, can we just take the testimony? Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Susan DeOrio from Minnesota Association of Realtors, and I respectfully oppose the proposal before you. Of course, from our perspective, we don't need to say that the real estate industry is at an all-time low. Property values are decreasing, and we have very few buyers and a lot of supply in housing, not to mention that it is a regressive tax. So from our perspective, we think that this type of funding should be spread amongst all property taxpayers, and it's going to benefit all of them, and not just be restricted to buyers and sellers. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Questions for Ms. DeOrio? Anyone else from the public would like to speak for or against this bill? If not, Rep. Coles.
Madam Chair, I guess my question for Representative Dill relates to what Ms. DeOrio just said. Representative Dill, how are these bonds being paid for now? Who's paying for them?
They are being, Madam Chair, their bonds are being paid for with revenue coming from the system, which, as I said in my opening remarks, are at least double what anyone else is paying in the area. As an example, the Western Lake Sanitary District, imagine the North Shore. You can imagine what Lake Superior looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Starting at the city of Duluth and extending slightly outside the city, the cost of sewer is about right at $70 a connection for the fees and the debt service and all the things that are involved in that 70. Then there's this next piece, which is another system, which is called the Duluth North Shore Sanitary District, which is connected to the Duluth system, the Western Lake Sanitary, and they're at $140 a month, double. And then there's on up the shore further, where it gets back down to about 70. And so that they have to have a fee that high to collect it to pay these bonds down, and the purpose of this is to assist in paying the bonds down so that they have a subsidy in a sense until they get the bonds paid down to where it will only be about a $70 or an amount.
Representative Rosalina?
Representative Cole and members, what happened here was you're not actually what the Western Lake Superior Sanitary was okay, I think.
Yep.
To the T10 and Duluth or a little north of there. Then you had these homes that had individual septic systems. And I don't know if it was federal law or what happened that they had to build this little system. And then Two Harbors had theirs, or Knife River had their system. And these people built this. I mean, I don't know how many homes are there.
A few hundred.
And they built this system that just hooked into the Western Lake Superior Sanitary District. But
You know, they have to do their own bonding, and he's just trying to buy his house at the same rate, and that's what this bill is. Normally, I would support this bill because there's nothing else you can do to figure out how to help those people. So a lot of them are elderly, and they're paying more for sewer and water than sewer. And Madam Chair, Representative Dill, and one of the significant parts of this is that, for example, in the city of Two Harbors, in a bonding bill or two ago, they came in, they had an NPDES problem where they had to build a retention pond to keep from spilling raw sewage into the Lake Superior. The significance here was the environmental impact of all these failing septic systems that were right on the shore of Lake Superior, putting the, you know, the in some cases untreated sewage into the actual lake. Not that they wanted to do that, but that was the technology that they'd used that failed, and so that left them with only one alternative, was to build a community sewer system with just a few hundred connections, where in the case of Western Lake Sanitary District, Western Lake Sanitary District, the city of Two Harbors, they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in Two Harbors, and they have thousands and thousands to carry that load with the Western Lake Sanitary District. So this is what we came up for a thing.
Madam Chair.
Okay, so Representative Cole and Representative Yarns, Representative Cole.
Madam Chair, Representative Dill, I'm not sure what's going to happen with the bill. I applaud the creativity of you and others from northeastern Minnesota. You always find a way to try to level the playing field, and I applaud that. I have issues in my area, and maybe I should take a page out of the legislative playbook from some of my friends from northeast Minnesota and try to figure out ways to spread some of the costs around when constituents in my district have issues where they have they get hit with something because of an environmental change or whatever. We should find a way to spread that pain around a little better. Maybe I should do a better job by representing those constituents and take a page out of your playbook, because you guys do a great job. So,
Representative Gavina, to that point, that was a compliment, by the way.
You're spreading something else along. Clear about yesterday, we had one of the mine companies were done
somewhere,
and because of their dewatering of pits in Gilbert, across the city of Gilbert, created this beautiful recreation area and an old abandoned natural ore pit called the Lake Orbigon. But they're dewatering it across the road in an active mine, and they've lowered the lake so low that all the infrastructure they put in there is unusable. And so Inland Mining Company went to our TC and asked us, can we just, we're causing a problem, move the vert a little bit of our water over. Oh no, you can't do that. You have to do a hole, is it an EAW or MIS?
EIS.
To move water out of the pipe that's already moving water out of the pit to hook up. That's the kind of stuff we go through all the time. These rules that these people had to build a septic system were because of all the federal laws that pertain and state laws to Lake Superior. So you guys don't, we have to do EISs to run phone lines from my constituents to his on Ely and Tower and that area, because it's all public land, and we try to go to, we run a phone line. No, there's nobody in this room but me and him, and maybe Representative Cooper, that have to do an EAW, excuse me, not an EIS, an EAW for some, one of our constituents to get a phone line in their house. So it is a little different. So, I applaud your
representation of your constituency. Well, Madam
Chair,
Representative,
you know, maybe Rick Amina and I could do some consulting with these folks down here on how that playbook could work. we could use a little stipend on that.
It represents Yarrow from Simpson and Denver. Representative Yarrow.
Do they get any federal money?
Well, Madam Chair, they got loans to help build this project. And that's the problem. Loans cost money, and that drives up the monthly fee, and so that's the purpose of this. And I'm certain that the chair will be embracing this in a big way, because my senator is the Senate tax chair, as you probably know. And I know they have kumbaya on about all bills that they introduce over here. So.
Is this a vehicle bill, Madam Chair?
Good one! Well, that was fantastic. And Representative Jill did a wonderful job as the chief authority officer last year. Sorry about that. Representative Simpson.
Just a question. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dill, how does St. Louis County feel about this, though?
Madam Chair, I don't think they're wild about it. But they're not here to testify against it.
I appreciate your honesty.
Another note from the paper.
if they were that excited about the bill, they also have a lands bill up here that has many, many provisions in it. And they would be here to work on that as well. So, they get from one hand, and it's part of the playbook, and I don't want to give away the details, and we won't be able to charge for it.
Representative Dammer.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I thought my question was answered with Representative Simpson, but I'm going to go one step further. Representative Dill, does the Cook County Commissioners and does the county know about the bill?
Oh, Representative Dill.
No, not the Cook County, no.
I'm sorry.
That's part of the playbook, too.
St. Louis County. Do they know about it? No, I was going to ask the same question as Representative Simpson, but I should go one step further. Do they know about it?
Yes, and in full disclosure, tonight I tried to contact John and Garo to tell him that the bill was up, and I couldn't. I got his voicemail, so I left him a message. But yes, they've been here to the Capitol and consulted on this, and they're not. It's not a warm and fuzzy feeling they've got on this thing. But one thing about the realtors, my good friends, the realtors who, I get along with real well. This is a $10 fee on a $100,000 transaction. And there's million-dollar homes up there that change hands. We're talking about a very small amount of money on a transaction to help these people. In the town where I was the city administrator, the average home is $50,000, $53,000. So you'd be talking about a $5 fee on a deed. So That's about, unless you have other questions, I'm just love you're smiling and I'm ready to do something else.
Further questions? Anyone else in the public? If not, we'll lay over House File 4158 for possible inclusion in the honors tax bill. Representative Dill, which one you want to do next?
Let's do the lands bill. How's that since we're on St. Louis County?
Representative Dill moves. Is that House File 3032?
Yep.
Where is this going, Representative Dill?
This, I believe, goes back to Representative Carlson's committee, and then...
Okay, so Representative Dill moves this to the Finance Committee. We think you're right, Representative Carlson. We don't want it.
It has to go back.
Yeah, it came from Finance, so it has to go back.
It has to go back.
And the bill...
The other day, that's
true. Right. Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, the bill, most everybody here knows what the lands bill is, and all of the provisions in the bill, as it's presented to you, are non-controversial and have been approved by either the Department of Natural Resources or the, in one instance, there's a piece in here that went through the Department of Administration. And this is a compilation of many bills, many members, that comes together each year, and at least at this point, it's non-controversial. So I also have a couple of amendments.
Representative Dill, would you mind just reminding me again why, what is the tax or fee or assessment reason it's here before amendments?
Yes.
There must be something, because we don't care about the fee and tax stuff and levy stuff.
Well, that's a very
good question. I'm looking for it, and I don't...
That's a very good question, Madam Chair. In Section 53, there is some language that has to do with the lease of tax forfeit lands, and that's a fee. And also there is some in Section 8, Representative Solberg has a provision here regarding Minnesota Steel and Iron that has to do with proceeds from a lease of tax forfeited lands and how it's used to replace trust lands in another location. And I don't know another reason why it's here, Madam Chair.
Okay, well, thank you for that. We're waiting and thinking, but do you have amendments, you said?
The money that this has in it as income was booked, I believe, in House File 1812 and accounted for in House File 1812. Representative Solberg, is that...
I'm sure I think that's the case. There was a total cost, I think. Is this the expedited land sales?
No.
Oh, then that's not one. It was the expedited land sales, I think, that raised $66,000. And so that this is not booked in the other land sales. There was another bill that went through that actually raised $66,000.
Okay.
And that's counted in 1812.
Either Ms. Baker or Mr. Michael, we're just trying to figure out why it's here for a second. And so Mr. Michael or Ms. Baker, do you want to tell us? I think it was, well, we're just trying to figure out. Someone said, yeah, well, can you tell us into the mic?
Madam Chair, as Representative Dill indicated, Section 53 changes those lease rules for tax forfeit and state lands that essentially allows that for a wind energy project. There's also in Section 4, there's a change in the use of tax forfeited land statute in Chapter 282 that's relating to, I think it's probably largely a technical amendment, but it's changing the rules for granting easements across tax forfeited land.
Okay, thank you for that.
What I thought.
And to your amendments.
Okay, I got two amendments. The first one I'd like to move is the 32A4.
Representative Dill moves the 32A4 amendment.
Right, and I'd like to make an oral amendment on line 1.14, and that would be changing the $250 to $125. And then the amendment is because what needs to happen, from time to time people don't get in, loggers are working out in the woods and doing their work, and they're not really accessible to the DNR office. They don't get in on time and pay their fees that they owe and sign their contract on timber that they purchased at an auction sale. It happens rarely. But when they don't do that, then they lose their deposits and things that they paid on the day of the auction sale. So we needed to have a little bit of a buffer. And this bill is a permissive thing. It says the commissioner may grant an additional period for the purchaser to sign a permit not to exceed 5 days, and that the purchaser would pay a $125 fee. And the fee is that would be the issue. Fee is a tax, tax is a fee. And the other is a part of a policy, and I do not believe that the DNR has any opposition to the amendment. However, Mr. Tomlinson is here. And also down on line 1.25, it says that the effective enactment is retroactive to January 1 of 2008, and that is because an incident like this happened just this year, just in January, where a logger missed the date by a day or two, and the department called them and said, hey, you missed the date, you better come in and get your check and your permit signed, and then while you're here, make sure you backdate it so that it's done before the permit date. And then after that, they said, well, wait a minute, even though you brought us the stuff, we don't have any authority to do that after the date that it was supposed to be done. So this just gives them a little bit of wiggle room, and it's permissive, it says it may.
Okay, so members, did everyone get that on 1.14, Representative Dill has an oral amendment for replacing 250 with 125. Questions on the amendment? Discussion, reps and calls.
Representative Dill, Where does the fee that's collected go? Does it go into the general fund? And what, I can't imagine that this would collect all that much money. I don't have a problem with it. I just want to understand.
Representative,
Mr. Tomlinson was here earlier, and we talked about.
Behind you.
Oh, here you come. Good man to answer that question.
Welcome to the committee.
Quickly, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The revenue would go to wherever the revenue for that particular timber sale is going, which would be either the general fund or the forest management investment account within the DNR. One of those two, whichever the timber was coming off of the land type for that site would follow that.
Well, Madam Chair, it would have to do with who actually owned the land that the timber was coming off of. So if it were school trust land, I would assume it would go to the school trust. If it were, acquired land, there's several places where it would go.
Madam Chair, Representative Gill, are we talking about this happening a couple times a year, or are we talking about it happening a couple hundred times a year?
Can we get your name?
Madam Chair, Bob Tomlinson. Tomlinson.
Okay.
The DNR Division of Forestry.
Thank you for that.
We hope it doesn't happen anymore at all, but in the event that it's the rare occurrence that it might once a year or something, this would be in place to allow us that flexibility.
Other questions?
And I can make a comment on that. We talked about this, the commissioner and I, and we thought that if it happened five times in any time that we could remember, that it would be probably more than it would really happen. So.
Anyone from the public who is here for this amendment? No? If not, we're gonna vote on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted. Representative Dill, you have another amendment?
Yep, the 32A3 amendment, Madam Chair.
Do we have these in here?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that in the playbook? Can you have the amendments ahead of time for us?
I was trying to really be upfront, Madam Chair. It is against the Ranger playbook.
Representative Camino, you haven't quite finished your mentorship. So. Representative Bill.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair, there is the rule in the newspaper industry that you print clarifications to make sure that people believe you the rest of the time. And so it could be here, you include the amendments ahead of time, so the rest of the time, you're less likely to see them coming and appreciate what's going on.
Okay, Representative Gill moves the A3 amendment. Representative Gill.
Okay, this is a bill that I had that went through the Environment Policy Committee, went through the Environment Finance Committee, and then it went further and did not receive a hearing. From another committee chair. And Madam Chair, what this does is this says that a state employee shall not enforce federal laws pertaining to the use of ATVs, snowmobiles, or aircraft in the navigable waters of Voyageurs National Park, which are under the state's jurisdiction in 84B-061. And if you read 84B-061, which I provided a copy of it in your packet, it says about six or eight lines down, I'm just going to read it, in making these donations, none of them, meaning the state donated land in Voyageurs National Park, in making these donations, none of the navigable waters within the park and lands under them, which would be the beds of the lakes, have been donated to the United States. The navigable waters include the following: Rainy, Capitogama, Namekan, Sandpoint, and Crane Lakes, which is the lake where I live. Ownership and jurisdiction over these waters and their beds has not been ceded by the state, either expressly or implicitly, to the United States. It further says, in the discharge of their official duties, the Attorney General, other constitutional officers, and public officials, such as Commissioner of Natural Resources, shall vigorously assert and defend in all forms the state's ownership and jurisdiction over the waters and their beds and related natural resources. It also says that in discharging their duties, the governor, attorney general, and other constitutional officers and public officials shall additionally be especially cognizant of the free rights of travel afforded citizens of Minnesota. Now, what this is about is that in these navigable waters of Voyageurs National Park, the state, according to this statute, has never given those waters to the federal government. Now, that's different in the boundary waters. In the boundary waters, when the boundary waters is created, the state ceded its land and waters. But we learned our lesson in the 60s and said, enough of that. We're not only going to give the lands in the park, not the waters. So here's what happened. The federal government has come along and promulgated regulations that prohibit the use of aircraft on these major lakes. They have a speed limit that is dramatically different than the state speed limit for snowmobiles, and they have totally prohibited the use of ATVs on the ice. So here you have miles and miles and miles of shoreline, miles of it, tens and tens and tens and many miles. And you have all these private homes which can go right from their property onto ice and go out ice fishing. But they can't do that on an ATV because the federal government has usurped the state's authority. And what we've had is, from time to time, is state officials, mainly game wardens, go out and enforce the federal law and write a ticket based on that when they have no jurisdiction to do that at all. Now, the department tells me that they're not doing that anymore, which is a good thing, a very good thing. But what I'm doing is making sure that future conservation officers know damn good and well they're not supposed to be doing it by putting it in law. And so this isn't about using ATVs on land. This has only to do with waters of the park, which can be traveled from private property onto the water. Now, if you want to go ice fishing in a pickup truck that's four-wheel drive, you can go out on the lake in a four-wheel drive pickup and go ice fishing, but not on an ATV. If you want to use a Class 2 ATV, you know, the ones with the steering wheel and side-by-side seating, you can go out on the lake and go fishing with it, but not on an ATV, not a Class 1 ATV. As well, if someone needs to be picked up to go to an airline departure at the airport, they can't be picked up by a float plane because the park has come along and said you can't operate a float plane in the park. But yet the land, the waters of that park belong to us. So that's what this is about.
Okay, so we've got Representative Rucavina, Representative Leland. Okay, Representative Rucavina.
No, Representative, when did you get your ticket?
You should ask more, when did our senator get one? My senator. But anyway. so you can use that.
Representative Joe, this is exactly why Representative Joe has been offended that I said we needed to look at all his bills very closely this year. Because we know it isn't Representative Dill, it's Senator Bach with all his creative ideas. And we just want to make sure we can tell which bills are yours and which are his. So I think you've clarified that one for us.
And I have to tell you that Bob Meyer, Deputy Commissioner, and I talked about the bill today. He told me they do not oppose the bill.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Weaving.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just really wanted to ask you, Representative Dill, you know, this is not a tax, obviously not a tax provision, this amendment, and I'm just kind of wondering why you're bringing this here. I mean, hasn't this still been through quite a few other committees? I mean, why are we doing this in this committee?
Representative Dill.
Well, Madam Chair, anything goes in tax committee. I learned that right off the bat when I got in here.
Well, Representative Dill and Representative Weaving is right. I know that some people wish there were germaneness rulings in this committee, and I have not been willing to make one. So it's a perfectly appropriate. I do think, though, it has occurred to me listening to you that I wondered if public safety has seen this, and then would they need to see it if you put it on? Well, it's federal enforcement. Representative Weaving.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not saying that it isn't germane. I'm just asking the question because, you know, because all of a sudden I'm hearing about a lot of things that I don't know anything about. So can you just tell us?
Well, I think the bill ended up in Representative Mullery's committee, and then I didn't get a hearing on the bill. And I was told, at least what I was told, is the police officers didn't want it. Well, right there's the state law. Obviously, the police officers, if that's the case, they don't want to follow state law then, because state law says that we own the waters, not the federal government. So, I mean, if the police officers don't want the thing, then they don't even want to follow our own laws. See, there you are. Ranger playbook.
Rough Sun Railway. Well, thank you, Madam Chair, I guess. Well, okay. Well, I guess this is giving me a little concern then that, you know, about putting it on, Representative Dill. I mean, it's, you know, here we are after 11 o'clock at night and, you know, you're giving us a lot of explanation, which I appreciate, but I am having real trouble determining whether this is something that I think should go on the bill at this point, so.
Representative Dill and then Representative Rugavino.
Well, Madam Chair, I'd have been very happy to come in here at 6:30 instead of having the property tax. I mean, it wasn't even that problem. So, I mean, you know, I'm just here doing my job, and, you know, I guess I can't read this plainly enough. If you want the federal government to usurp the rights of this state, which are plainly in law, right here in the document that I gave you, if you want them to usurp the law and then you want state employees to be complicitous in usurping the rights of every single person in this state, then you're going to vote against this amendment.
Well,
so, I don't know what else I can say about it.
Representative Maury, I apologize. Representative Rugavino, did you have something before that? Okay, Representative Maury.
Madam Chair, I can't understand how we didn't hear the bill since it says it was never sent to our committee, but I did get a lot of people coming and saying that that bill should be sent to our committee and that there were problems with what you were doing here, and it is kind of strange that it wasn't put on in the Environment Committee, which is one that you sit on, I believe.
Well, Madam Chair,
this
was an individual bill. And this bill was amended in the Environment Committee and was traveling on its own. And this bill was amended by Representative Wagenius in the Environment Finance Committee, and I accepted her amendment, and then we voted it out on a voice vote. And then it went to what I heard was your committee, and from that point forward, we got no more committee hearings or action on it. Now, that's what my committee administrator told me. And then the next step was is that the police didn't want it. And then my reaction to that is you know, I mean, like, read state law.
Okay.
And one, Madam Chair, one person testified against the bill in the Environment Finance Committee.
Representative Maury.
Representative Dill, it passed Environment Finance then?
Representative Dill.
Oh. Yes, and I believe it was on a voice vote. I could check with my committee. It went from policy, environment policy, to public safety policy. And it was passed out on a voice vote.
Okay. So, and Representative Maury.
Madam Chair, it didn't go to Environment Finance then.
It did not, but Representative Wagenius has amended it in the environment policy.
Representative Maury.
Okay, so...
And Representative Dill, while everyone's just pausing because we're exhausted and we don't know what you're talking about. I'm just kidding. I'm following. Representative Carlson was letting me know that, in fact, your bill needs to go to Ways and Means, not Finance, when it leaves here. So just... We're going to have to change the motion where it's going anyhow. So, Representative Maury.
Madam Chair, I guess I'm not going to ask for it at this point.
Okay, so the motion is to Ways and Means. Further?
Yes.
Okay, but, you know, I was trying to figure out from Representative Mueller if he was going to ask to, if the amendment went on, would he be asking to see it? Because Representative Dill, if it goes on and then you're going off to public safety, I think you'd want to know that,
mm-hmm.
and you'd have the opportunity to withdraw the amendment. Okay.
So, to the amendment, questions to the amendment, Representative Dabney? Representative Marquardt.
Oh.
Dabney. I'm sorry, Representative Dabney.
I do want in, but I think Representative Marquardt was on the list.
Okay, Representative Marquardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm somewhat confused still. I understand this, where the waters and lands under are the state. But then the bill for the state employee shall not enforce federal laws, which means we're assuming there's federal laws that pertain to this. And in our U.S. Constitution, I can't remember, it's Article 4 or 6. So you got the Supremacy Clause, which is the Constitution, federal laws, and federal treaties are the supreme law of the land, and nothing can supersede that. So I'm confused. I mean, either federal laws pertain or they don't. And if there are federal laws there, it would look like this is superseding that. If in fact federal laws say something can't occur, it looks like a state employee is superseding that federal law by saying, I'm not going to enforce it. And to me, that'd be a violation of the Supremacy Clause of our Constitution.
Madam
Chair and Representative Marquardt, probably issues that for another committee, but the states are not required to enforce federal law. They're not, which we'll hear more about in the medical marijuana bill, I'm sure.
Thanks for that, Representative Dill.
And that was going to actually be my answer, and to further carry out that out. This bill does not say that the federal government can enforce their own laws that they've promulgated. It just says that a state employee, which is essentially a conservation officer in this instance, can't enforce the federal laws. Now, my bill originally had all federal laws, but then it was brought to our attention by the person who testified against the bill that there's the Migratory Bird Act, and there's things of that nature, and those things should be enforced. But this only is relating to places where we'd normally use ATVs, where we'd normally have a speed limit that's already set on every other lake in the state of Minnesota, and the use of aircraft. So,
Representative Dill, we feel ill-equipped to understand this. Are there further questions? Representative Dabney.
Madam Chair, this is an unusual request, but would Representative De La Forest field your question?
The attorney was awake.
The attorney was awake, exactly. Your response, Representative Marquardt, feeds into my question. You stated that states are not required to enforce federal law.
Right.
Are other jurisdictions, counties, watershed districts, cities, whatever, required to enforce federal law?
Let's send you before.
Or is that a general rule?
You're Representative Dabney, of course, there are all sorts of, you know, when you say require, that can even be somewhat of an ambiguous term because, of course, we know the way the feds require us to do certain things is they offer financial incentives. And so if you take the money, you agree to enforce something. But it's the general proposition is, let's say there is a federal criminal law out there, like you can't counterfeit money. That's a federal law. The basic rule is, the Minnesota State Patrol cannot be required by the federal government to enforce that law, which is hence, of course, why we've got Treasury agents and the FBI and all the rest. Now, that's not to say they don't cooperate, Mike, but the general rule is that states cannot be required to enforce federal laws.
Representative, of course, thank you. That was edifying. Representative, doesn't this create a sanctuary park?
Yeah. Of course.
This is Boundary Waters.
No, it is not.
Voyageurs National Park is not.
No, ever.
It's a Voyageurs National Map here.
Representative, we all need a tour of this.
Boundary Waters is 1.2 million acres that's administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Madam Chair,
Representative Dabney.
Not the Boundary Waters canoe area, but a body of water that acts as a boundary between the United States. I need a map between the United States and Canada. Is this not a boundary? between the United States and Canada.
Yeah. That is correct, Madam Chair, and if you read in this document, it says, be especially cognizant of the free rights of travel afforded citizens of Minnesota and others under the Webster-Ashburton Treaty and the Rootes-Price Treaty, which are two treaties that relate specifically to travel on border waters of the United States and Canada, which you just now have prescribed.
Madam Chair,
in violation of the treaty. So
Madam Chair, Representative Dill, people could move illegally from Canada into the United States, and as long as they were doing it by plane, snowmobile, or ATV, that would be allowable through Voyager National Park under this. State law enforcement personnel would be prohibited from stopping them under this because of this amendment.
No, they would not, Madam Chair. The violation would be the immigration illegally, not the use of the conveyance.
But Madam Chair, Representative Dill, the law enforcement personnel wouldn't know that.
Well,
if I'm cruising along on an ATV after the passage of this, they have no ability, they've got no probable cause to stop me because they're prohibited from stopping me because I'm on an ATV. We're establishing a sanctuary park.
Okay, Representative Rukavina.
And it's quite fine to complicate the further by coming off the spot the interpretations that have the free travel
project.
And could you ATV on one time?
Representative Dell.
I don't even have a comeback to the question because, I mean, you're talking about a place where they don't do that kind of enforcement, the state doesn't do that kind of enforcement in the first place. But there's the Border Patrol and the FBI, and they got every customs agents and every other thing you can imagine up there enforcing these. And they certainly have the ability to do that enforcement that you suggested.
Madam Chair, I just want to know where Representative Dill was. I think it was yesterday on the Riverfront Corporation bill. I could have used you as an ally.
Representative Dill,
Representative Coles, could you put the Sanctuary City bill as an amendment to the amendment on here for me, please?
I'm waiting for the floor, Representative. Read your playbook, page 12.
Further, Representative Mullery. Representative Mullery has... Representative Mullery has questions. Representative Mullery.
Madam Chair, I know everything that comes in at this time of the year from an Iron Ranger has got something.
Oh, come on.
And Auntie Gloria hasn't been evoked yet tonight. I'm reading this and it says something, be especially cognizant of the free rights of travel. That doesn't say free rights to use any type of travel arrangement you want. So I guess I don't understand why this is necessary, this amendment to enforce 84B061. And I guess I also didn't understand the argument of we have state employees enforcing all kinds of federal laws, and why is... this different. I just don't understand that. Why is this different from if we have a drug bust? The cops work with the feds, get it charged in one way or the other.
Well, this Madam Chair, this is different because it specifically says in law, if it said in law somewhere that they couldn't enforce a drug bust, a federal drug violation on a city street, that's what this amendment, that's what this says. It explicitly says that we will defend the rights of the state on these particular lakes and waters. Now, in your example, you would be making a drug bust, let's say, on a city street if it said in state law that on a city street in a city of the first class, a state employee couldn't do a drug bust. That would be law. This is law. This says that they cannot, that we will defend the state's water rights. And that's what we're doing in this bill, and that's what we should be doing, and that's the reason this bill was passed in 1994, is because the federal government began usurping all of the rights of the state on the land, on the waters that we never gave them. That's exactly what's happened, and they continue to do it. And let me give you an example. Just recently, they decided that you weren't going to be able to drive a darn a bombardier out on the lake. That's a tracked vehicle. They have them all over Lake of the Woods, all over Mille Lacs Lake, everywhere else they have bombardiers, but not on these lakes, even though
state law says they're ours and not theirs. So that's the purpose of the amendment. And I mean, let's just take a vote on it, Madam Chair.
Esther Mallory?
Well, Madam Chair, I mean, that's nice to say let's take a vote while you're asking questions, but I still don't understand where in here it says that there's something in state law that says that you can use these things on these lakes. And I'm maybe missing it trying to read this thing, but I don't see that.
Representative Dill.
Well, if you read the treaties, you will see that it talks about that in the treaty.
Oh.
Representative Mallory.
Well, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, but I don't have the treaties here.
Representative Rizzavina.
Representative Cole, this gets back to the issue we talked about earlier with Alaska. I mean, there's nobody in this room against got a cabin on the last or a cabin on whatever lake you want to pick, or in the lake right in Minneapolis that can't take an ATV and go out and ice it. And that's what, when this law was passed, and I remember when Representative Anderson wanted it passed because of the thing, he was around when they negotiated the whole voyage. And then the federal government started breaking what was an agreement. So I don't see why this is unreasonable. I mean, fine, if the federal government wants to arrest them because they made a federal law that says you can't drive, you know, how ridiculous is it? You can't drive an ATV out in front of, these people have cabins on these lakes, they've had them for 100 years. And now they can't take their snowmobile or their, but they can take a truck out there. They can drive a four-wheel-drive truck. And that's all he's trying to say is, if they want to make these stupid rules up, which are against what we initially envisioned when we passed the Voyageurs Natural Park, then let their people enforce them. But ours aren't going to because they're not supposed to, because this says they shouldn't. This says that they shouldn't be able to pass that restriction on
the ATVs
in the first place.
Representative Mallory, were you
done? I sure don't see what Rukavina reads into this. I don't see in there.
I read the treaty before I came.
Representative Rukavina, where did you read the treaty? I know someone else. Representative Wolfire. Madam Chair, Representative Dill. You know, why are we talking about this in the tax bill? Couldn't you fix this in your own committee?
Representative Dill.
I did fix it in my own committee. I accepted an amendment from Representative Lugenius and sent it to another committee. And at that point, I didn't get a hearing. So here I'm in the tax committee. I'm a member of the tax committee. Every other member of this tax committee can offer amendments, regardless of what they say. And so here we are at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night, debating something that should have been done a hell of a long time ago. And I mean, we're not telling the feds they can't do their deal. We're just saying that our people, you know, you don't see anybody here from DNR opposing this. You don't see anybody here from enforcement opposing this. And I told them that we were having it up tonight. So, I mean, I'm...
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Vote fire. Where are you going to...
Madam Chair.
He's here doing it
to Paul. But I think, Representative Dill, what's different than whatever you added is not already in the bill. You're adding another amendment. It wasn't in something that happened somewhere else, right?
Well, I had I briefed in Rukavina's file cabinet here and figured out.
Okay, I mean, I think, but I think Representative Wolfsire was asking, if this was needed there, why not there? Why here? You know, you have to track on the
right, like I said, that. I sat down and looked at all the things I needed to accomplish this year, and I had bills coming through the tax committee. If you wouldn't have brought this bill here, Madam Chair, I wouldn't be here with the amendment. So with all due respect, I mean, I'm just doing what I do, what we do. Is that every one of us does it.
Reps and Wolfsire.
I just think it's wrong. Representative wrong what you're doing, and I think your face is all red because no. So there. If you want to get into it with me, go ahead. Don't bring your
finger at me. Fight
it.
Okay.
Come on over.
You know what?
I love you.
You know what, Representative Rubina? Representative Rubina, I'm not going to tell you what Representative Wolfmeyer told me, that when she was telling everybody in the Mall of America hearing about what size shoes she wears and how tall she is and stuff, she actually had another piece of personal information she was going to say, but she didn't want to say it where you could hear it because she was afraid you'd write it on the bathroom wall. You can just go figure out what she was saying. So, with that, Representative Simpson.
Madam Chair, I believe this is going on to the next Committee of Ways and Means, correct?
Correct.
That will give the Ways and Means Committee something to do. Call the question, please.
Further discussion. Okay, all those in favor of this amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
No!
The amendment is adopted.
Division?
Amendment, a division has been called. Okay, all those in favor of Representative Dill's amendment, please raise your hand.
No members has ever questioned another.
Okay, and all those opposed, raise your hand. We got it. Okay, thank you. The amendment is adopted. There is another amendment from Representative Dill.
Not on this bill.
Not on this one?
No.
Oh, it's on the other one. Okay.
So now
voting for the bill to go on to Ways and Means. All those in favor?
What did you do to him?
Is that a motion?
No,
okay. Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dill, can you tell me, I got a real question about the wind energy project. Can you give us a little more detail about that? Tax forfeited land, leasing out for a wind project. I'm just curious.
Representative Rufalina.
Madam Chair, right now there's a prohibition on the length of time a county can do a lease. And the wind things with that seabed stuff, they don't, you know, they don't pay off until like 30 years. I don't know. I don't know. 30 years. So nobody's opposed to it because you couldn't put a windmill. Folks wouldn't do a project on county tax over land. It's just we have 900,000 acres to take from the county, and that's where we ran into the problem. So they can only leave 20, I think it is, and those seabed tax.
Yes, I think is the difference because it's leased land from the county? Is that why it's different? Because I know other properties you do, because that's what you do. If you lease land to put a windmill on from a private owner even, and they do 30 and 10 and 10, for example.
There's state law. We had that special law for Representative Hamilton last year to lease on some state land.
And you feel like lease land for 20 years?
20 years of state land.
Because of state land. Because of state land lease, that's different.
Representative Rubina? Okay. Representative Demmer?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Does this generate wind production energy tax?
Representative Rukavina or Representative Dill, whoever knows the answer to that?
Madam Chair, it would on the wind energy.
Representative,
on the actual wind energy.
Mr. Michael, following this, Representative Demmer, you're opening a whole new can of worms now. I know you do. I know you do. Look at Mr. Michael a second to figure out whether or not he pays the production tax. That's what Representative Demmer, repeat your question for Mr. Michael.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, the wind energy production tax that's generated, would there not be any because it's... I'm curious if there would be, and if there wouldn't be, why not?
Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, Representative Demmer, the wind energy tax does not have an exemption for governmental entities. It's just expressed in very general terms. Karen and I do not know how that would be applied. We assume that the plain language of the law would subject those to the tax, but I don't know.
What's that, Karen?
Well, thank you, Matthew.
I guess the other point, which Karen just pointed out to me, is that the county gets, I think, 80% of the revenue, and so they'd be paying the tax largely to themselves if it does apply.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, actually, 80% would go back to the county to be paying the tax, and 80% would come back to the county, 14% to the jurisdiction, and 6% would go to the school district, which would then be offset unless we change the bill or change the law that's going to take an effect, which would be offset against their county aid. So that would be leakage, I think, of money from your county rangers. So you might want to help me out with my amendment coming up. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Rukavina?
I told you how to do that 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Further discussion? If not, we're going to vote to move this bill to Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The bill passes and sent to Ways and Means with audible dissent. Let that be by the record. Okay. Representative Dill. You have another bill passed?
Okay, we have House File 3547.
Representative Dill moves House File 3547, and Representative Dill, do you have the A-17 amendment?
Yep.
Representative Dill moves the A-17 amendment. Does everybody have that?
No, I don't.
No.
No.
Hang on and look for the A-17 amendment. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Representative Dill, I have a question on the A-17 amendment.
Go ahead.
And I tried to send a note off. I know it's late, but it's something I care about, and since you're doing a non-tax amendment here, I do want to ask you, do you know if Trout Unlimited supports this provision? And I think I've said this before, my family has had presidents of Trout Unlimited, and I come from a long line of fly fishermen, and they get really concerned about these sorts of provisions. So I feel, like others have said, unprepared to know how I should vote on a provision like this. Because I know there are people who take which type of trout is fished at what time of the year, very seriously, and where. So can you tell me if Trout Unlimited is on board with this amendment?
They, Madam Chair, they have not come forward with this amendment. They have not expressed any dissatisfaction with the amendment, and Mr. Bogus is here from the department, and I suggest we could ask him if he's heard anything from them.
That'd be great.
Actually, Trout Unlimited should like this amendment because it shortens the season when it's 40 below, and it lengthens the season when it's 30 above. And so that means that they can get out and do a little fishing when it's a little warmer.
Well, and honestly, in full disclosure here, the current president of Trout Unlimited is my brother. and what you should know, I mean, he's an attorney, but that role is a volunteer position. They don't come and lobby the Capitol. They work very hard to try to track what everyone's doing. And I, like I said, I come from a long line of very avid fly fishermen, and I just, if we're going to do an amendment like this tonight, I just really, you know, would like to hear your answer if you can give some information on that. So welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Ed Bogus, Deputy Director of Fish and Wildlife for the Department of Natural Resources. And this amendment is an outgrowth of a study that we did and reported to the legislature in January on lake trout season expansion. And as part of that report, one of the things we looked at was, this deals with trout lakes that are inside, partially inside or outside the boundary waters. We have longer seasons inside the boundary waters because of accessibility than we have outside the boundary waters where they're more accessible. So the provision that's in Representative Dill's amendment is something that's relatively new, and I do not know if Trout Unlimited is aware of this or supports it or not, but the concept behind it is that the seasons are being extended in lakes only, and I think Representative Dill has an oral amendment perhaps that he's going to offer to make that clear. But what we've been talking about is just in lakes, not in streams. So it's trout lakes that are affected, and it would add 2 weeks to the season inside or outside the boundary waters and take 2 weeks away inside the boundary waters. So we think that would help to disperse pressure. We'll be doing some additional creel surveys to monitor this because it is an extension of the season outside the boundary waters. And we would just, we're more concerned about the lake trout than we are the stream trout, which tend to be more what Trout Unlimited focuses on. So, long answer, Madam Chair, I don't know. The short answer is I don't know where Trout Unlimited stands.
Can I just ask if this is coming off a study that was done in general? Do you know if Trout Unlimited supported the results of the study?
Madam Chair, we did a lake trout report, and Trout Unlimited really never weighed in one way or the other on that report.
Okay, thank you for that. Representative Dill, can you just tell me why you need this amendment, and what are you personally trying to achieve? Because it's just the overfishing issues, those kind of things are, I know, are really important to people are trying to restock and restore. Representative Dill?
Well, we are trying to make it so that people can go out and actually fish. right now the season opens on January 1st, and it's because global warming was canceled this year due to cold weather. We had 30, 40 below zero all the month of January, which is normal and traditional, and people just don't go out and fish. But then when the weather turns warm enough so that they can go out and fish, the season is closed. So what we did is we took 2 weeks off the front and added it to the rear of the season. And the DNR came forward, it came from the Department of Small Oil Amendment, on line 1.4, so when you're ready, we can take that.
So, Rep. Pintel, is it a tourism thing?
It's a local user, tourism. People come up, they can go lake trout fishing, and they don't come when it's January 40 below.
Okay, thank you for that. What's your amendment, Rep. Pintel, on line
1.14, at the very end of the line after slate comma, it should say on all lakes.
Okay, so Representative Dill moves on 1.14 at the end, the very end, add on all lakes. Discussion we don't need it. It's your own oral amendment. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess going with what you... Was this heard in any committee? I mean, why is it being brought now? I mean, if the study was done quite some time, I mean, was this heard in committee where you could potentially have groups that... I mean, this is touchy stuff. I guess if someone could answer that, I mean, it's sitting, going on a wing on fishing stuff can get pretty... Representative Lanny, remember a deer hunting situation a couple of years ago? And
line 1.10 was heard in committee and was a bill, and the bill was introduced eons ago, the very beginning of session. And then the line 1.14 is something that the DNR wanted us to work out with them. So it is applied to all the brown trout, brook trout, rainbow trout, and flake during the same period. So we're bringing it in because of that.
Okay. Representative Marquardt, why wasn't it included originally in your game and fish bill? I mean, you were waiting for...
Representative Dill... Is in the playbook adding any author's amendment on the floor?
What we were trying to do is simplify it. We didn't include it in the bill. I think I forgot it.
What's the mark for?
Further discussion. I again feel ill-equipped, Representative Dill. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay.
No.
The amendment is adopted.
You gotta be kidding me.
Division has been asked for. All those in favor, raise your hand, please. All those opposed? Oh, I didn't hear that one correctly. This one was not adopted. Sorry about that. Representative Dill, further amendments. Anyone from the public, either for or against, would like to speaking on this one? If not, this bill is being sent to Ways, Representative Zellers and Representative Cole.
Madam Chair, I guess I'd like to, we didn't hear anything about any of the fees or taxes in this bill. I'm curious what's in here before we vote.
Oh, we did. Didn't we? Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm getting tired. You're completely right, Representative Cole. You're completely right. And you,
I guess that if we're raising fees, raising taxes,
and you know, Representative Coles, I think you are the most consistent fee cop in the entire legislature. You are. You've been very consistent. So I apologize. You've been bipartisan in your scrutiny. Representative Brucavina.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to go, but I do have to say to the committee this. You know, that last amendment that some of you folks voted against, like, you know, you live in Ely, Minnesota, you had your cabins taken away from the federal government, you got the boundary waters on your back doors, you can't go fishing for trout in January because the city is 35 to 40 below every day. And to lose an amendment like this, that just moved the date back?
Commend chair, especially from the chair of the committee.
You know, it's no wonder we got to have a playbook when you can't even pass a damn simple amendment like this that allows people to go out and fish when it actually warms up to about 10 below.
Representative Coles, Representative Dill, do you want to walk through the fee parts of your bill and the tax parts, or would you prefer Mr. Michael to tell us what they are?
I just want to comment on what Representative Dill...
Representative Dill...
Well, you know, we worked on that amendment the entire session. we worked on the bill, and we worked with the department the entire session, and now the chair of the committee brings forward a bill that's perfectly reasonable. The DNR does not oppose it. They include, on top of that, we accommodated the department by changing the language so that it did what they wanted to accomplish, and the amendment goes down. You know, all I'm going to tell them back in Ely, Minnesota, is that people don't have a clue what's going on down here with regard to game and fish, and that they don't honor the wish of the chair. Now, what's the question?
Madam Chair.
Well, Representative Dill, I mean, I do want to respond to that. I mean, there, you know, there's a lot of chairs of the committees here, and this is rare, and so I think it's, you know, it's hard when we don't know the answer. So, in the end, you know, people do get to, I mean, I do think people should offer what they want, but people do get to vote how they feel about it. So I understand your frustration, but I hope you can understand the frustration the other way, too, because it has happened a couple times in here, and, you know, most folks have not been so adding non-germane amendments, and I don't ever want to rule on one, so I don't have a problem with that. I guess I'm frustrated with, of course, the part of that is people can vote against something that they don't think makes sense to them. So I know, Representative Dill, if you want to comment further.
Madam Chair.
Representative Fulbert.
Just to change back to the fiscal part, there is a fiscal note in your committee as well, and you will see that there's cost savings and so forth. Maybe the staff can highlight where the fees are increased in here. I think it's no tax provision. I think there are some fees that are being changed.
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, if you look at either the bill or the summary, there's a $3.50 electronic processing fee. I think that's in Section 3. I think that's actually not the type of fee that the definition of the statute applies to, because that's a fee that's charged by the processor.
Right.
But if you turn to Section 23, there's a $52 resident license fee. Section 24 has a $12 turkey hunting, non-resident turkey hunting fee. Section 26 adds a fee of $37.50 for non-resident spearing a fish. I think those are the only governmental fees that I saw on the... I'm sorry, I also had 29 circled. That there's a bear hunting outfitter's license fee of
$165.82.50. Representative Coles and
Representative Coles, to that point, I sat on the game and fish, and every one of those fees that was put in came through as a bill, and they were all fully discussed and voted on, and there was no problem. Some of these actually were brought forward by people requesting, like the bear hunting. I know the outfitters, they brought that bill forward themselves and stuff. So I don't think there's anything here that wasn't well vetted. So.
Well, one more fee that was in here, Madam Chair, is a change on the, if you look on the fiscal note, you'll see a conservation angling license. There is a conservation angling license that we are proposing to offer that would be two-thirds of the price, two-thirds of the limit. Two-thirds of the price of a regular fishing license and two-thirds of the limit, statewide limit, for that particular species. And that is a cost of $2,412,000. But then we do some offsetting of that cost by looking, if you look down at the very last item on the fiscal note, it says two-line endorsement. That's a Representative Junkie bill, and that is a income raiser of $1,186,000. So the purpose was to try and bring forward some conservation measures so that we could have them voluntary, in the sense that they buy a fishing license that costs them less, they take less, and then we offset some of that income with this new concept of having two lines during the open water season. Still a net cost between the two of about $1.3 million, but the fund can sustain that, and that money has been accounted for. And it was fully vetted in the committee, And it's also in the Senate language as well, identical language.
Thank you for that. Some calls for you.
Very quickly, Representative Dill, the all firearm season license, two deer, that's a new license option, right?
We have, right now you have an all season license, which includes archery, firearm, and muzzleloader. What this makes is an all firearm season, which gives you muzzleloader and rifle, or actually rifle and muzzleloader, and it allows you to buy the archery a la carte. So that would actually be a savings to someone who wanted to buy the all firearms license. They have to buy, to get that, an archery license that they may never use. So we took the archery license off and made it just all firearms. And, you know, this all sounds real complicated because you don't serve on the Environment
Committee. I just said Carlson Walrath, it's like he's speaking another language. I just don't even know what any of that means. I'm glad you guys do, but Representative Dill, thank you for that.
Saving people money in that instance.
Representative Cole, further, Representative Emmer.
Oh, Madam Chair, thank you. I think these fees all just go into a fund, don't they? It's like a user fee. It goes into the fund and gets used for purposes of Game and Fish. What's it called? What's the fund called?
Representative Dill.
Game and Fish Fund.
Representative Emmer.
Clever, thank you.
Any questions? Anyone from the public who want to testify there on this? If not, this bill is being sent to Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye. Representative Dill, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'd just like for you to, someone that voted on the prevailing side of that motion on the season limit, to do a reconsideration on that. That was a whole session of work on something that isn't even controversial. We had that bill in the very beginning of session, and it kept changing and changing, and now all of a sudden here in this committee it gets knocked down. So I'm going to bring it back on the floor and in ways and all the way along.
Wow. But I mean, you're putting it on the floor. We don't do policy.
So there you go. I mean, I could see the Voyager Spark bill going down. How about a trade?
Well, Madam Chair, I think it is legitimate for us to consider it underneath the rules. People probably didn't understand it, but I, you can do it tonight and reconsider it if you want. Defer to the chair on that, but otherwise it would be obviously something for the House floor.
Okay, so is there a motion? If not, it looks like you're going to probably have an author's amendment on the floor, I guess. No one's taking you up on that, Representative Dill. Further discussion?
And then, Madam Chair, in committee, you don't have to vote on the prevailing side in order to to bring it up.
Well,
Madam Chair, I'll bring it. I'll bring that back on the table, please.
Okay, so Representative Simpson would like to reconsider the A-17 amendment.
Okay.
All those in favor of reconsideration of the A-17 amendment, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say no.
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 The motion does not prevail.
Well, Matt, here, just one more. The season is in there. The season is in the bill if you read the bill. We're just trying to put in what the DNR wanted. That last part on 1.14 and 1.15. The rest of the bill is already in there. The winter lake trout season is in the bill, so what you've been arguing about is already in the bill. I'm just trying to accommodate the DNR. So I love to take advantage of the DNR, so thank you and have a good night.
Okay, so all those in favor of House File, I don't remember the number, 3547 to pass and sent to Ways and Means, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The bill is passed and we're off to Ways and Means. Members, before you go, I just want to tell you about the calendar coming up here. It's important for the people who actually stayed through the night. I have been talking to Representative Simpson, and we have to get the omnibus tax bill out. And we have been trying in the last kind of day to work with Mr. Michael's staff to try to meet the goals of Speaker Kelleher. And we have found that we probably can't meet those goals, so we're still negotiating for a little more time. So it looks like, and just Stone Holding, I was telling Representative Simpson, it looks like we want to get every single tax bill that we're going to hear this year done tomorrow and not meet Friday and not meet Saturday. Many of you knew that was in play. I was trying to let Representative Simpson know that was possible. Come in Monday, unveil the tax bill, and leave, and then Tuesday, hear public testimony and take up amendments and mark up the bill and try to get the tax bill out of the committee by midnight on Tuesday. So that's what we're looking at now, like a very busy Monday and Tuesday, but nothing more on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So everybody should be thinking about, you know, what what's going to have what they what their interests are in the tax bill. So, Representative Carlson.
Sure, just a comment. I heard that the board talked about it.
That's correct. You know, and members.
Every bill tomorrow. I mean, I'll be happy to try to
eat it. Yeah. Won't be during the session. I mean, it'll be this again. I mean, you know, I think members know that, you know, the floor sessions now are down, so I think they have 12 floor days left, and they're all very long. And, you know, we all schedule our tax committee meetings before they schedule all these extra session meetings, and we've got to get through. It's mostly members on this committee who have asked for hearings, and we're trying to get through them. Northwest Air, we're going to hear Northwest Airlines tomorrow. We have Representative Dabney has two or three, and so, you know, that's, we're going to, unless you want to meet Friday and Saturday, but my sense is people don't want to. So if that's the plan right now, feedback to me and Representative Simpson if you have, if you'd like to meet Friday instead or something different. Okay? Yeah, no, I know. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.